I want to read to you from the book of James again in this theme of draw near, James 8, that we've been really processing for about 3 months. It says, verse 8 in James 4, it says, draw near to God. And this is what I want to focus on now. We've been talking about drawing near to God and our approach to God and how he loves for us to come to him and how we get to do that and why. And of course, because of all of the things that are going on in the world, it is a prophetic word that God wants us to draw near. But then the second half of that verse, it literally says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so there's this drawing near that God grants in his grace to us, that God draws near to us. This is an amazing thing. Many people don't realize how important that is. And it's very important to me. It is a core value of mine as a pastor that you experience the presence of God in a corporate setting. You can go to many churches today. There's all kinds of churches, but I'm only the pastor of one. And so I want you to experience the real, the genuine, the authentic things of God. He literally promises that. The Lord promises that he will draw near to you. He will draw near to us. But the question is how? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do I know when he is near? And what does he do when he draws near? It's important that we understand these things so we can appreciate our Heavenly Father like he deserves to be appreciated. Sometimes we kind of take God for granted. You know, sometimes he gets blamed for things that he should never be blamed for. And we as children really need to understand that the Father does want us to draw near to him. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, and then I want to pray, and then I want to just share a little bit from this passage and some other ones very quickly. And I shared a little bit on Wednesday, but I have some fresh points that I want to bring. Ephesians 2. So we're talking about drawing near to God, and he will draw near to us. This is what it looks like when God draws near to us. We've seen some things here. In Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off, that is far off from God, have been brought near. Everybody say brought near. By the blood of Christ. Somebody say amen. By the blood of Jesus. You have been brought near by the blood. You have been conveyed into the presence of God, into the very presence of Almighty God. By the blood of Jesus. This is how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Those of us who are so far away from God, without hope in the world, alienated from God, the blood of Jesus Christ has brought us into his presence. Amazing. It's amazing. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. He's talking about Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or the hostility, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two. In other words, God doesn't want his children to be separated. Somebody say amen. Not from him and not from each other, thus making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God, in one body through the cross. That is, God is in the process and he wants to reconcile, to bring us to himself in one body, that is through the cross, through the body of Christ, through the blood of Jesus, thereby putting to death the hostility between us and God, between each other. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not hostile toward you. No, don't do that. You can if you want. I love you. That's better. I love you. You are my brother. You are my sister. I'm not hostile. Verse 17, and he came and preached, listen to this, Jesus came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and those who were near. He's speaking of Gentiles who are far off and those who are near, Jewish, his family. Verse 18, for through him we have both access. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. Somebody say amen. So there's an open door. There's an access for you and I. This is all supernatural. It's all done by God's grace. It's all by God's love and by his care for you and how much he wants to be with you. We have access by the Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you are no longer foreigners to God, but you are fellow citizens with the saints of God. Somebody say amen. So what does that make you? That makes you a citizen and a saint. And members, and this is what I want to really get to today, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, listen to this, and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body, the whole building, being fit together, grows into a what? A holy temple in the Lord. That's you. That's me. We are growing together. We grow together as a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built. That is present tense. God's not done with us yet. Somebody say amen. But don't get discouraged about where you are, because God is doing something in you that fits you into his body, being built together. Here it is, for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is what it looks like when God draws near, that we become we together. Now, I know that the Spirit of God dwells in me, but we together, we become a dwelling place of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that in these next few minutes, you're going to reveal things to us that only your heart can reveal, Lord, and that you're going to show people how important it is for them to be a part of what you are doing in the earth, a part of your kingdom, yes, but a part of building your house. Your house, Lord, is so important to you, and it is important to this world as well. And we're going to see that as well. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and everyone said, amen. So a subtitle to this, if I could give you a subtitle on God drawing near, is that we are becoming a habitation of God. We are becoming a habitation of God. We're learning to invite his presence. We're learning to allow God to work and move. And sometimes it's with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are? Many of you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are manifestations of God when he moves. And unfortunately, in many churches, these things are not welcome. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, which tells us that maybe he's not welcome. I don't know. I can't judge it. But here we welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know that God loves to demonstrate his grace and his power. And every week we pray for the sick. Aren't you glad that families can come, just like Tim and Tracy and Jonathan, they can come and they can be prayed for. We just invite people after the service, come be prayed for. Jesus wants to touch you and heal you. See, the Russells they came for the very first time, and it's always awkward when you come for the first time. Anybody here for the first time? Anybody? God bless you. Oh, Roger, put your hand out. Scott's back there with his hand. Anybody? Anybody here for the first time? Who's here for the first time? Second time? Anybody here for a second time? Am I embarrassing you? Oh, God bless you. Amen. All the way in the back. God bless you. Anybody else? You get a gift. You get a gift. You get a gift. Did you get your gifts? Did you get your gift yet? Where's Kathy at? Where's Pastor Kathy? There's a gift for you. All right, they got it. They got it. But we are becoming, see, this is a value of mine. We are becoming a habitation of God. You're not coming here just to hear Tara sing and the worship team. You're coming here to meet with God. You say, well, Pastor Randy, I can walk in the woods and meet with God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't get lost, but yes, you can. But he chooses to manifest his glory among his people that come together. This is why the devil wants to minimize the church and why you have to make it an important core value in your life. Not so that you come to our church. Yes, I want you to come. Everybody say, yes, we want you to come to this church. We want you to come to this church. We want you to be a part of this church. And it is a core value of ours that you encounter God, the very God of heaven who created it all. Now, Moses, when he was introduced to God, remember in the desert? I'm not even getting to my notes. I don't even know if I'll get to my notes. But remember Moses in the desert? He goes, oh, I exceedingly fear and quake. Remember at the burning bush? He's just like, oh, you know. The Lord said, take your shoes off. Don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. Just take your shoes off where you are right now is holy ground. This is very powerful. And so the Lord began to speak to Moses. He began to speak to Moses and tell Moses what's going to happen in his life and how he has come down because he has heard the cry of people. He has heard the problems and the groanings of people. How many know God is very much aware of what we go through? And so he comes to manifest forth things about himself to us. See, when we're humble and we're willing and we draw near, and it's not very hard to draw near to God. How many know that God's not far off from any of us? All we have to do is just call upon his name. That's it. We just say Jesus and he's there. And he begins to work and show. But things begin to happen when he draws near. And this is what I love about Life Church. And I love about the people here that have come here and we've sent out or they've gone or they've moved or wherever they are. They never forget. I always have people call me years later, message me years later, text me years later, Pastor Randy. There's nothing like being in the presence of God at Life Church. I'm like, Lord, can I not see the forest for the trees? I know I'm so used to it, but I'm telling you, if we all will just stay in that place of meeting with God, then he will meet with us. There's things that he wants to do, though. Psalm 75, and this is not in my notes here. I just wanted to read this to you, verse 1. It says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. His name is near. And we were singing about all the things that the Lord does. Jesus has made this possible. He has made it all possible for us to stand in the presence of God, not fear and tremble like Moses did. Because Moses didn't have the blood of Jesus like we have. Listen to what it says. But now, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near to God. You have been brought into the very throne room of God. How? By the blood of Jesus. See, the Lord wants more than casual gatherings, I believe with all my heart. And let's remember also that he has reconciled us. He has brought us into this relationship with the Father. I want to just forego a lot of notes and just stay right there, Roger, wherever you are. Don't move because the Lord gave me a special just word for this moment. Remember that he has made us, what does it say? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We call him Father for a reason. Because he's a good, good Father. That's a song. We used to do that a lot. He is a good, good Father. Now, many of you have not had good fathers in an earthly sense. But you can be a good father. Somebody say amen. He wants you. God, you can. You really can. But I have so much regret. No, don't regret. Just get cleansed and just start being a good father right where you are. Right? Amen. But we are members of the household of God. Listen to what it says. And this is not in the notes either, Roger. I know I'm just going way off the map here. But God gave me some things this morning I want to share about him drawing near. We focus on the miracles. Aren't you glad for the miracles? I love the miracles. He's a God of miracles. He's a God that works miracles. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the working of miracles. He loves to do miracles. But we want to love him for who he is, not just for what he can do. Somebody say amen. And so he is a father to us. We are the household of God. This is where God dwells in the earth. You say, Pastor Randy, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. At any time, God is there. Yes, but it's his manifest presence that he reserves for his house and for his people. You, in 1 Corinthians 6, starting there in 16 through 18, this is what it says. You are the temple of the living God. He does not call any other entity in the world the temple of God. He calls us the temple of God. You have to understand how important you are to God. You are a part of this temple that he is building, this house of God that we see. And I've said it many times, and you can see it in the book of Revelation. You see the city four square coming down out of heaven, the dwelling place of God. Did you know you are that city? You are the living stones. You are the people, the priests of that beautiful city. Woo! Hallelujah. You are the temple of the living God. This is what it means when he says, God, I will draw near to you. This morning as I was praying and I was in the presence of God and I was here, we were worshiping and I can close my eyes and feel the glory of God. Sometimes you just got to get rid of all the distractions. You know, in the Old Testament, they had prayer shawls you just put over your face when you pray. Why? So you wouldn't be distracted. There's nothing holy in a prayer shawl. It's just, no, you just cover yourself and you get alone with God. So my eyelids are my prayer covering. I just like to close my eyes and just be in the presence of God with God's people. During the pandemic, my wife was telling me how the isolation was not a problem for her at all. Why? Because she was taking advantage of that alone time to be with the Father. Somebody say amen. And what was he doing? He was revealing himself to her in more powerful ways than she had ever known. Even as a child, she went to church. She lived for God. But she said she learned so many things just by being with him. Somebody say amen. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, this is what he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. Somebody say amen. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, the unclean, and I will receive you. And what is the unclean? John reveals it to us, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Come on, you can say it. The pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. All that is in the world, this is what you have to avoid, not very hard, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Somebody say, I can avoid those. Well, the rest of you, I'm going to pray for you, all right? Come out. Don't touch those things. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart fixed. Stay pure. Listen to what it says. and I will receive you. That is, you're drawing near. Many times people draw near, but they're doing it out of pretense. They're doing it out of religious ceremony. They're doing it, they're trying to do it out of some other means, and it doesn't make any sense. Jesus, his blood conveys us. His spirit gives us access. We're just trusting in those things, and we're staying, keeping our hearts pure. I'm almost done. Roger, I haven't not given you one note to move on. I'm so sorry. I will draw near to you, he says. I will receive you. I will walk among you. I will dwell among them. See, when you come here, I want you to know that you are meeting with the Father. And that he is meeting with you. And that you can bring whatever your needs are to him. But this is what I wanted to get to. He says, and I will be a father to you. Somebody say amen. You are members of the household of God. Now, not everybody is a member of the household of God. Only those who have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, given their life to him, been born of the Spirit of God, and who stand in his presence knowing that he is their Father. Do you know that he is your Father? And that he answers. But I love this. He says, I will be a father to you. And listen to this. You shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come on, give God praise right now. Hallelujah. Where's Tara at? Come on up here, worship team. Come on up here. Listen to this. He is dwelling with you. He is dwelling among us. He is manifesting forth his glory. Yes, it is about miracles, signs, and wonders. I love that about the Lord. He loves to do that, but he doesn't always do that. It is about those things, but it is also about disciplined sons and daughters of God. Disciples of Jesus. Now, most of us are not so disciplined, right? Yeah, we get up in the morning, we go to work. And it's everything we can do to just stay at our desk, right? You know, it's like, Lord. But the Lord is saying to us, and I'm convinced of this, that it isn't so much about rigid discipline. It's about a desire to be with the Lord and him with us. And if we can keep that discipline. See, he is making sons and daughters. When he draws near, he makes sons and daughters. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a son, you're a daughter of God. He is making you. He is creating in you his image, his likeness. Now, we don't always portray it correctly, but remember, we are being built. Somebody say amen. We are being built. As he's drawing near, he's burning out all the infirmity, weaknesses, all the things that are unlike him. Say, burn it out, Lord. Burn it out, Lord. Burn it out. He's burning it out. Listen, I'm learning that the more the presence of God is on my life, the less of the flesh I'm going to operate in. Somebody say, man, it's true. And then when I lay hands or when I pray for people, when people get prayed for in this place by the saints of God, that God moves with power. We don't want any hindrances. Now, are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? And the word, amen, amen, amen. Say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And what that means as a son or a daughter of God, I'm devoted. I am devoted to Jesus. But I'm also a devil chaser. Somebody say amen. And I'm also not only devoted and a devil chaser, but I'm a Holy Ghost filled believer, carrying the authority and the weight of the glory of Jesus Christ in my life. And I'm not putting up with any kind of mess from the devil. Somebody say amen. My life is going to be in order. My life is going to stand the test of time. My life is going to be built upon the rock, upon His word. I'm not going to allow the enemy to tempt me to sin and carry me off into sin. How lonely that would be. How terrible that would feel to me at this stage. And I don't want that for any of you. I want you to stand in the glory presence of God as sons and daughters of the Most High, because He is your Father. He is your Father. The God of heaven is your Father. And you can count on Him. I want you to stand right now. Come on, stand with me.